Was that Jesus?
No, that was Gertrude. The Bible says there'll be a shout, like soldiers screaming. You ever seen the soldiers do that? They yell. They shoot the Indians. They yell. And why? Man, that's a get attention getter. That will get your attention. It don't matter where. You could be in the middle of one of them big old stadiums with 100,000 people. When that shout comes, you're going to hear. And so is everybody else. Those people you've been witnessing to, them people you've been ministering to, those people that you've been trying to tell them about Jesus Christ, that stuff, you know, that thrush thing will start their toe and work their way all up to their head. It's like, oh, no. That's a scary thought. We're talking intense, aggressive, character urging. Come on, man. This story has to be told. It can't be ignored. It can't be denied, my friend. People will not listen to other things, but I believe they will listen to you tell the story that Paul told about what is going to happen at the rapture. It's amazing to me that people are so intrigued by it. Boy, it's just like Revelation. It's just like death. When I was subbing at high school, I wore a pager, and they, Brother Randy, you selling drugs? I said, no, I'm picking up dead folk. And they grab their chairs, and here they come. And they want to talk to me. What do y'all do? You go pick them up 3 o'clock in the morning? Uh-huh, you won't go with me? Uh-uh. What do y'all do to them? It take the whole class, and I'm like, y'all really won't hear this? Yeah. They want to hear it. And I'm going to tell you something. I believe people are intrigued by death because they're nervous about it. They're scared about it. They're not sure about it. And when they meet somebody like you that knows what's going to happen at death, they want to talk to you. They may not act like it, but they'll find you and talk to you. Them kids didn't care who knew. They come up and said, "Brother Andy, what happens? What's going on about that? What do y'all do? What happens to them people?" It amazed me that they were so intrigued by death. And I got to believe that lost folk are intrigued too. Because let me explain something to you. Don't be so blown away by all the death that goes on around us. There's a lot of it going on. Amen? God just keeps reminding folk, this is going to happen to you. Whether it's a gun, whether it's a heart, whether it's a whatever, it's going to happen to you. You're going to die. And then the judgment. It is appointed unto the man in Hebrews once to die and then the judgment. And so, my friend, people need to know that. Some of them don't understand that. I believe every believer will hear their name. I believe the lost may or may not hear anything. Who knows? But I believe they will hear what has been shouted. But then also, the archangel, the Bible says, the voice of the archangel. We don't really know who the archangel may be. We don't understand really the rank of all that. I can tell you this. And I have a pet peeve, and I probably shared this with you. A lot of people believe that folk that die in Jesus are saints, are angels. You ever heard that? Oh, God just needed another angel. You might have said that. Can I tell you that the Bible says that we, as the saints of God, will sing a song the angels cannot sing? We are not angels. We will never be angels. We are saints. We will never not be saints. An angel cannot be a saint. A saint cannot be an angel. And you say, I ain't a saint. Oh, yes, you are. If you're born again, you say, well, hold on, I don't live like one. Hello. God put the saint label on you, not me. You're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. You're going to receive the same inheritance he receives it the day he receives it. My friend, if you've been born again, you are a saint of God. And you may not like folk to say that about you. Oh, no, whoa, no. But you are. The question is, do you live like it? It may well be that we hear the shout from the last voice of the last archangel of the several that were in the Word of God. I don't know. I don't know. Listen, it's not that big a honking deal to Jesus. He just gave, go down there and shout for them folk. Tell them to come on. And we going to come. We going to blast out of here, my friend, like the shuttle. Y'all ever seen that shuttle go up? Anybody? Anybody ever been there when it goes up? You been there? Woo-hoo-hoo. I sat across that Indian River at a restaurant at 7 o'clock in the morning. sun is starting to come up. And I'm listening to the countdown on the radio, 10, 9, and I felt the ground. And my truck is going. I'm a mile and a half away from that pad. And the ground is shaking. And all of a sudden, and the sun's bright, I'm having to do this. And all of a sudden, that 10 million gallons of water they put around that thing, that fire from them engines hits that stuff, and the steam comes and blocked out the sun. I thought it was 10 o'clock at night. I could see, and that thing, and the whole place is shaking. Man, and the thought hit me. I wonder if we're going to be like that. Because big as I am, it's probably going to be kind of earth-shaking. Come on, son, lift off. I watched Air Force One take off one time, and that rascal went down that runway, and it started up, and it went like this coming up. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, it ain't going to, yeah, no. It looked like it wasn't going to make it, trust me. When we get out of here, we just going to go, and we gone. When that shout happens, my friend, you can forget your money. You can forget your jewelry. It'll be laying on the ground with your money, your britches, and your shirt, and your shoes. And everything else will be at your house will just be left there. Amen. Your kids going to get it anyway, amen? So it's just going to be left there. Your neighbor's going to be like, yeah, the rapture, woo-hoo, for about 3 years. And then he's going to be like, oh, my goodness, what has happened? I'm going to tell you something. You, Stephen King ain't got nothing on Revelation. Amen? Bible talks about hail, stone big as 100 pounds, the blood, water turning to blood. The Bible talks about creatures coming up from the ground. Some of these movies that you see that seem kind of funky, no, they got that stuff from the Bible. There's going to be some weird stuff going on this planet. It's going to be literally ripped apart because that's why there has to be a new heaven and a new earth. God's going to restore it. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. To the original, you know, there was like just one perfect person, right? No, there was three. There was Jesus and Adam and Eve. Now, I don't know how long they were perfect, but they were perfect for a little while, and then they blew it. And then they become us, or we become them. And the fact of the matter is, my friend, God is going to restore all of that back to the pre-tree, the pre-tree time, amen, the pre-snake time, the pre-taking the fruit. We're going to go back to perfection. I can't even imagine that. That just don't make no sense to me. But then the sound, verse 16, after the shout comes, the Bible says the trumpet of God. This is not one of the trumpets in the trumpet judgments in Revelation chapter 8 through 11. It's more, listen to this, it's more a picture of the trumpet call used in the Old Testament to call the children of Israel out of camp to gather together. Kind of like, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, i.e. go to church. Maybe we ought to start shooting off a trumpet, amen? I did that one time talking about the rapture. Had old boy up in the balcony with a trumpet. I like to kill some folk, I ain't kidding you. I saw some folk leaning over like the heart was about to go. They were like, ah! And then somebody said, that wasn't funny. I said, thank you, brother. You took the words right out of my mouth. Ain't going to be funny. It's going to be joyous. It's going to be hilarious. Kind of like giving. Hilarious giving. Cheerful. Come on. It says give hilariously, cheerfully. Amen. That's what it's going to be when the trumpet sounds. Woo-hoo! Out of here. Some of you teenagers be like, right in the middle of a math test. Come on, Jesus. Boom, I'm out of here. Teach later. That'd be a good time. Algebra. Amen. That'd been time for me. Woo, I can't stand that stuff. Amen. Algebra, or whatever. Amen. The children of Israel were called together by a trumpet. Every time that trumpet sounded, they didn't say, boy, I sure don't feel good today. I think I'll just stay here and watch Dr. Field. They got up, they dropped what they were doing, and they came to the assembly. Because God was about to tell them something. Y'all know where I'm going. It ain't no different here every Sunday, Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. God is calling you together for you to hear something literally from Him. And if folk would look at it that way, my friend, we'd have to build 10 million churches. This is the way it is. There will be the trumpet of deliverance, not the trumpet of gathering, but the trumpet of deliverance. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about sound, 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 sound. Woo! Sounds! It's going to be loud, y'all. Going to be loud. Then he talks about the saints in verse 16. The dead in Christ will rise first. That's the saints, the believers, the bodies. Then we who are alive and remain, alive and awake and aware and active and after it. That word is not the word a physical human whose blood is pumping through their veins. It is the word made alive or what? What's that other word? Quickened. You were quickened. You were made alive. My friend, you are no longer dead. You were made alive by the power of God. And He's talking about those that are made alive. Woo! And that's what's going to happen. We are alive and remain. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. This will we always be with the Lord. Ooh, what a sight that's going to be. What a day. Amen. A glad reunion. All them folk you've come in here and had them services for that were in Jesus, guess what? You're going to see them again. And they're not going to be sick. And they're not going to be infirmed. They're not going to be on drugs anymore. You know, I used to be on drugs as a teenager. Now I'm on prescriptions. Just went from one to the other. Amen. Now it's legal. Amazing. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians says. 1 Corinthians says that it talks about the resurrection bodies. Souls meet the buried or burned or destroyed, however, as I said, you want to talk about it. And they are changed from corruptible to incorruptible so they can be in heaven together. So you're going to be known as you're known, amen? We're going to know each other. Hey, man, you're going to see me and say, hey, you got hair. Probably not. Probably not, unless I grow something between now and then, amen? Because I'm going to be known as I'm known. Some of y'all never see me with hair. Man, I used to have hair. It come out here. I had that evangelist dude. It came out here and went all the way down my back. I ain't kidding you. I used to go to the Philippines, or I started in the Philippines in about 2004, and I realized I was taking more hair care stuff than it was clothes. Moose and mouse and shampoo and spray and gel and gel. I just went, just cut it off. And I've been doing it ever since. Because, man, come on, it's too much trouble. So that's what it is. The souls meet those buried bodies. As I said, they'll come together, and we're going to stand there and watch that. Amen? Amen. You see that? There go Granny. Go, Granny! And then, boom, we go. And y'all, I don't think y'all getting this. Come on now. This thing's going to take off in a hurry, and everything you've done or not done is over. But keep in mind, what sin? Your sin is forgiven, but you still got to stand before God and give an account of the things done in your body. What you done. And mostly what you didn't do. That judgment seat is not about judgment. It's about what you done for Christ. And if you haven't done, then it's about that. I mean, that's just common sense. Everything I've done for Christ, I hope and pray that God will say it, well done. I hope to see, I hope to hear it. Well done. You ornery and stubborn, and you weren't real smart, but well done. Well done. You did what I told you to do. That's what I won't hear. That's what I won't hear. Then our bodies will be instantly changed in substance. We'll be changed in not the way we look, but in substance. We can't, as I said, inherit heaven with this body. No evil, no sickness, no corruption. Heaven. Revelation 21, 22. Read that sometime, my friend. That ought to light you fire. I'm telling you, it will fire you up to read. And you, I read it, but I cannot comprehend it. I just can't wait to get there, though. Therefore, the Bible says, comfort one another with these words. The entire passage is not just a lesson on prophecy, but rather private and personal for you and I. It's there to provide encouragement and exclusivity. Not everybody's going. Well, I hate to say that. And you've heard people say, well, There'll be folk in heaven you didn't know was going to be there, and there'll be folk that ain't there. Yeah, that's probably true. It's probably true. You're going to find out the real identity of people when that happens. Loved ones and every Christian we know will be there. And then the Bible says, chapter 5, I want to read that to you, because sometimes we stop that they're right there. Chapter 5, verse 1, and I'm going to probably go down just a few ways. It says, but concerning the times and the seasons. In other words, don't worry about when it's going to be. It's coming. You just do what you do. Don't worry about the mule. Load the wagon. Grandpa used to say that. I thought, what? Huh? What a crazy old man. He's so crazy. I ain't got a mule. I ain't even got a wagon. But I got old. I figured out. Granny used to say stuff like, if your eyes leak, your head won't swell. I thought she's crazy, too. I thought, these are crazy two old people. Boy, they smart, amen? They had it down. He said, concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. When God says peace, or when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. And that's the part where I have to say, God, don't make me haughty about that. I know them folk that tell me they don't give a rip about God. They don't believe my Bible. They think I'm stupid to preach it. They will not escape. And that's a sad thing. It breaks my heart. The Bible says, but you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Do you not know the Bible? The Bible, we just read what the Bible says about this. You should be ready. You should be actively doing the things that get you prepared. Listen, you should be looking right now. And I'm going to say something about that in just a minute. Therefore, I said, we are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch and be sober. That word watch and be sober is literally a picture of a soldier with his gun on duty, looking and ready for the enemy, listening and straining to hear something in the bushes. Get too lax. Don't get too settled. Don't get too in that rut. That's what somebody said. Rut's just a grave with the ends kicked out. Amen. That's the truth. That's the truth. He said, you are the sons of light and the sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Or for those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet of the hope of salvation. Don't get caught out of God's will at the shout. Comfort one another. Edify one another. As you are already doing, he says, don't stop, don't quit, don't even let up. Keep pressing. I believe, and I'm going to close, I believe that this is the year of the Lord. Amen. I believe that. I believed it last year. It didn't happen, but I believed it. And I believe that this is the year of the Lord. I believe this is the year God is going to come. But here's the deal. If it's not, I am still going to live and act and walk and talk as though it is the year of the Lord. And if it is not the year of the Lord, let me tell you what it is. It's the year of salvation for some still. Come on, it's still the year of salvation for some people. Some folk going to get saved this year if Jesus don't come. And I believe that's the folk he's waiting on, the last one that gets saved. Could you imagine? Here's it. You're the $1 million winner at Walmart. You was the last one. Oh. Y'all need to let that sink in. I wonder who it is. You reckon they live in Savannah? Maybe they're in this room. There's a last person that's going to be, there's a last service that you're going to attend. There's a last message you're going to preach. There's a last song, and we're going to look back and go, you know what? That was the last song we sang. That was the last message I preached. That was the last church service. I sat over there in that hard pew. And somebody, I sat back there in this old pew. It's also the year of the love of God. God's love is still active. Amen? Come on. For the lost and for the saved, we are still in communication and are commanded to love one another. Just like that young lady said today. The year of love is still here, whether the year of the Lord is come or not. But then also the year of favor to us from God. Is God still favoring you? Is God still pouring out his blessing on you? Is God still giving and giving and giving and giving? Yeah. Proverbs 3:1-4 talks about trust in the Lord with all your heart. Forsake not the law. Bind it around your neck. You will find favor with God and man. Woo. Got trouble with somebody at work? Get spiritual. Come on, get spiritual. Our God's an awesome God. Get spiritual. But it's also the year of the anointing of God, the overshadowing. 1 John 3 says, the word of God will drench you with anointing. I'm talking about just cover you. You got the anointing? Let me tell you, if you don't, why you don't? You're not in the word. The word of God brings the anointing. The word of God, the Holy Ghost, through the word of God, who wrote this word of God, will cover you, overshadow you with anointing. I have always said, and I still say, when God takes the anointing from me, I'm done. I will not preach another message. Because I have nothing to say. Nothing. Everything I have to say is right here. And if I don't preach that with anointing, my friend, it's just somebody read some words. Like folk that are lost and say, well, I read the Bible. You're just reading some words. Unless the Holy Ghost that wrote it is in you, it will not pertain to you. The Bible says if you bear iniquity in your heart, God will not hear your prayer. Woo. Well, I never heard that one, brother. Look it up. And lastly, the year of the presence of the Lord. I will never leave you nor forsake you, he said. It may not be the year that Jesus comes, but it is the year of salvation for some. It is the year of love. It is the year of favor. It is the year of anointing. It is the year of the presence of God. There was a man named Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, great preacher. This is what he said. One day, he's preaching in the on the second coming. He said this, to me, in my life, the second coming is the perpetual light on the path which makes the path bearable. That's good. I never lay my head on my pillow without thinking that maybe before morning breaks, the final morning may have dawned. You ever thought about that when you lay your head down? Good night, honey. This may be it. I will meet you in the morning. Ooh. It's going to happen one day. And then he says, I never begin my work without thinking that perhaps Jesus may interrupt my work and begin his. Woo-hoo. This is now his word and promise to all believing souls till he comes. Watch, watch, watch. Be ready. Soon and very soon we will see Jesus. Would you bow your heads in just for a moment? Every head bowed. Are you ready tonight? Are you ready for that trumpet? Are you ready for that shout? Are you ready for Jesus to come? Let me explain something to you. If you're ready as a child of God, that's great. But are you ready to meet him face to face, child of God? Is there something in your life that you need to deal with and get rid of that thing and let Jesus take it so that when you stand before him, he don't bring it up no more? Going to be embarrassing if he has to bring up something. If you're lost tonight and don't know Jesus Christ, what I have just described to this church is what is going to happen one day. It's really, really going to happen. That's not a joke. It's not a fairy tale. It's not some ghost story that you read around a campfire. It's not something that maybe one day, we'll read about it in People magazine or whatever. No, my friend. This is the word of God that says Jesus Christ is coming. Just like it said he would be crucified and he'd raise 3 days later, he's coming again to take those that are born again home with him. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Those of you that don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, let me explain something to you. You might hear a noise, but I don't think you're going to hear your name. You may see people start shooting up out of here like a rocket. And you're going to stand there looking up in the sky like, what in the world is happening? And you know what's going to happen? It's going to hit you. Do you remember that revival we went to where that big fat bald head preacher was talking about this? It's here. Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Maybe it's 2 Thessalonians, one of those, can't remember. It says, if you have heard the gospel in the dispensation of the Gentiles, which is what we are in, and you reject the truth of Jesus Christ, your eyes will be blinded to the truth after the rapture. Go check it out. Oh, I'll just be one of them Secret Service Christians like the Left Behind book. That's a joke. There ain't no Secret Service Christians, no SEAL team Christians that are going to get saved after the rapture. That's for the Jews. Jewish folk going to get saved. You have a period of time from the end of the Old Testament, God put the pause button on, and he started everything in the New Testament for the Gentiles. And when he hits the play button again, that's when the rapture will take place. And my friend, everything done from that point forward will be for the Jewish people. You better get a hold of that today. Read your Bible. Go study it. Go research it. Are you ready tonight? My brother's going to begin to sing in a moment. I want to ask you a question. If you died right now, where would you go? He said, Brother, I don't know. Well, my friend, here's the deal. You don't need to sit in that seat. You don't need to sit there and contemplate. Well, I don't need to go down there. I can't go in front of them people. I'm ashamed. I'm embarrassed. I've done been down there before. My friend, here's the deal. Jesus Christ loves you. He'll set you free from the law of sin and death. If you have never been saved, if you have never asked him to come into your heart, my friend, tonight is the night. You may lay your head on that pillow. And that trumpet may sound, that shout may sound. And my friend, your little head may just stay right there. There's no reason for that to happen. Sir, madam, don't reject Christ. Some of you have walked down an aisle, filled out a card, said you prayed the prayer, got baptized, and you're not living for Christ. Get it right tonight. Get that straight. There's crowns to be won. There's a Savior to glorify. There's a story to be told. Your testimony is vitally important to people who do not know Christ because they may not understand what a preacher says. They may not understand what that Bible says. But they will understand you as a glorious, victorious Christian. And they'll get saved because of that. You say, Brother Andy, I don't know if I'm saved. Well, if you're not saved, here's the deal. I want to pray for you tonight. As I said, every service, if you're here and you say, Brother Andy, I do not know that I'm saved. If I stood before God, I do not know what I would say. Oh, I went to church? No. Well, I was baptized? No. My friend, you have to surrender your life to Christ and give him your life. And tonight you can do that right there where you sit, not down here, not in another room, but right where you sit tonight. You can ask Christ into your heart to set you free and save you, and he will do it now. And he will cleanse your sin, and he will say, what sin? Because he'll cover it past, present, and future. Brother Andy, I need to do that. I need to give my heart to Jesus. I don't fully understand all that, but I need to do what you said. I want to pray for you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, nobody's looking. If that's you tonight and you say, Brother Andy, I need to be saved. I need to get this done once and for all. I need to give my heart to Christ. I need to let Jesus in. My friend, I want to pray for you, but I don't know who to pray for. So if you'd be honest, nobody's going to call you out. Nobody's going to look at you. I'm the only one looking. Brother Andy, pray for me. If that's you, Lord, Brother Andy, pray for me, please. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Slip it up, put it down. Is there one? Is there one? Thank you. I see it. Put it down. Is there another? Brother, don't forget me. Pray for me. Slip your hand up and put it down where I can see. Just slip it up. Is there one? Another? Is there another? Slip it up. Put it down. Anyone? I see it back there. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Is there anyone else? But I'm not talking about repentance. I'm not talking about rededication. I'm talking about repentance. I'm talking about giving your life to Christ once and for all. Some of you need to do that, sir. You need to do it. Ma'am, teenager, child, you need to give your heart to Christ. I'm going to pray for these several that raise their hand. My prayer won't save you. I believe my prayer is good. I believe God hears my prayer. But my friend, you have to pray. And you have to ask Jesus to come into your heart, just like I did in 1989. You said, Brother Andy, I didn't raise my hand. Can I pray? Yes, absolutely. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray for you like I promised. But then I'm going to lead you in a prayer where you right there can pray and receive Christ as your Lord and Savior right now. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for these that raised their hand. I pray for those that did not. I pray, God, you touch their life right now, God. Open their heart like you did Lydia at the water's edge. God, I can't do that. God, touch them. Lord, they've heard something tonight that struck a chord with them. And they're thinking about it right now. God, open their heart. Draw them to you. Convict them right now. Every head is bowed. You need to pray this prayer and ask Christ in your heart. Do it. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. That's right. Say his name. Dear Lord Jesus, I love you. and I know that you love me. Lord, right now, the best way I know how, I ask you to come into my heart, to come into my life, and to save me right now. Jesus, I repent of my sin. You said, Brother Andy, what's that mean? You're going one way towards something, you turn around and make an opposite, go the opposite direction. You make an about face. That's what you do with sin. When the Holy Ghost comes to live in your life, you can turn your back on sin through the power of the Holy Ghost and the presence and power of the Word of God. You got to study it. You got to get a hold of it. You got to begin to get in it. And it will help you to become stronger and able to turn your back on sin. Jesus, I repent of my sin. I turn away from my sin. And I lay my sin at the foot of the cross. Jesus, I ask you right now to take complete control of me. I surrender all in Jesus' name. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If you prayed that prayer, say this, say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for saving me. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed, nobody's looking. I'm not going to call you out, I'm not going to embarrass you. If you prayed that prayer tonight and you meant that with all your heart, you asked Jesus to save you tonight, and you did just what the Word of God says, you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart, the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. You're saved according to the Scripture. If you were serious and sincere, if that's you tonight, I'm going to ask you to do me one more favor. If you prayed that prayer and you meant that prayer, you were not playing games, would you quietly, one more time, slip your hand up where I can see it and put it down. Is there one? Slip it up. Brother, I never prayed that prayer. I see your hand. I see your hand. Anyone else? I see your hand. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Brother, don't forget me. I prayed that prayer. Anyone else? Here's what we're going to do. Brother Steve's going to stand right here. They're playing. In a moment, we're going to stand. When we stand, if you prayed that prayer, I told the folk yesterday, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men on earth, I will be ashamed of you before my Father which is in heaven. We want to talk to you. We want to make sure you understand. If you raised your hand with me tonight, we weren't talking about rededication. We were talking about salvation. You asked Christ to come into your heart tonight if you raised your hand. We want to talk to you about that so you don't have any questions. You say, I'm nervous. Okay, that's cool. I've been nervous all night looking at these folk. Amen. Come on. They're a little scary. Trust me, they won't bite you. They've been praying for you. Amen, church? They've been praying for you. When we stand, I'm going to ask you to immediately step out. Don't let Satan stop you. You step out of that pew. When you come down here, you take this pastor by the hand, and you tell him what you did, and he'll take it from there. We're not going to do something ugly to you. We just want to talk to you. Everyone standing, would you just stand to your feet? Everybody right now, just stand to your feet. They're singing. Would you come right now? Come on. Step out right now. Don't wait. Come on.